grace and peace and mercy, I pray, would be yours always. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our country, we have a tradition. It's kind of an odd one. Not many countries have this one, although it does happen in various forms of governments. It's this idea of, in our country, called the presidential pardon. If you're accused of a crime, you go to trial and you are convicted and you exhaust the entire appeals process, then it's done. You're guilty and there is no escaping the punishment that is headed your way. Unless, of course, unless the president chooses to pardon you. Historically, there have been a number of questionable pardons. Presidents and even governors of states who can do the same thing have on occasion handed out pardons to people who, beyond any doubt in anyone's mind, deserve the punishment they were going to get. People who are clearly guilty, but just happen to be friends of the right person, and so they get off scot-free. When those events occur, it tends to drum up all sorts of political rancor and ruckus, but the truth is most of it comes to nothing because it's usually done after the election. And so who's in and who's out has already been decided, and who's going to remember in 2 years anyway? But what about those people that get to go free? They committed a crime. They were tried, they were convicted, and now after all of the work and the money and the time and the effort to put them away for what they did, they are set free because one guy just decided to let them go. That's just not fair. The punishment should fit the crime, and those who do the crime should have to pay the punishment. This kind of stuff, it kind of rankles us once in a while. We call the politicians corrupt and immoral. Well, welcome to the planet. We exhale in exasperation and unbelief, and we just think, this world just isn't fair. Because we like it when things are fair. We like it when life treats people the way people deserve. Bad people have bad things happen to them. Good people have good things happen to them. We like it when hard work is rewarded, when diligence and persistence come to success and wealth, especially when it's the little guy. We love it when the underdog wins big through his own ingenuity and sweat and effort. We've all seen in too many ways that too much free money doesn't really help people over the long term. There's a sense in the American culture of personal effort. Stereotypically, and it's not always fair, some people are there because they need it, but stereotypically our society generally tends to look down on people who spend years and years on welfare, sometimes generation after generation. We like to believe that people should pull their own weight. Now, I'm not really here to discuss the politics of current entitlement programs in our nation. I'd like to actually explore a somewhat larger welfare program, one that is, by anybody's measure, profoundly and ridiculously unfair. This program hands out uncountable quantities of just plain free stuff. People from all walks of life just leech off this system every day, and at the expense that no country could ever sustain, not even this nation, with all of its wealth and all of its resources, could maintain this program. It hands out free food, free clothes, free housing, and the food's not just the stuff off the shelf that you get at your little food shelf. This entitlement program hands out the highest end meals prepared by the best in the arts of food preparation. The clothing is not secondhand hand-me-downs. It is brand new, designer, custom-made attire, and the homes they give these people, they're just over the top. It's ridiculous to give people who are accustomed to living in squalor a home like this. They have no idea how to care for it or maintain it, and you know very well, if left to their own devices, that place will look like rags and run down in no time. And if that wasn't enough, this program even hands out free wine. This program is foolish. It's the kind of stuff I'm sure you would agree is not sustainable. And it shouldn't be allowed to continue. And in fact, people have started petitions to stop this program. They have even filed cases in courts to shut this thing down, because it's just foolishness to keep a program like this going. It's just all handed out to people for nothing. I think you should all consider whether you would join that group of people, an ever-growing group that would like to see this lavish wastefulness brought to an end. People should pay their own way. That's the American dream. A person should rise up. Their rays should become effective when they are. My boss said that once. Your rays will become effective when you are. I was motivated. Lazy losers should just learn to starve a little, because a little hunger is a good motivator to get people to work. Before you join me in despising this program, I should tell you who's running it. I can tell you it's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats either. The truth is, we read about it in Isaiah chapter 55. Whoever is thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. You don't have to pay, it's free. Why do you spend your money on what cannot nourish you, and your wages on what does not satisfy you? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and enjoy the best food. It's an entitlement program. And you're the ones getting it. You're the criminal who's been pardoned. You were tried and sentenced to an eternity in a prison called hell. You had nothing and could do nothing to take care of yourself. You were a poor, destitute, indigent. Your clothes were smelly and tattered. You were in a nowhere life with no way out. And it was all your own fault. You had been permanently labeled sinner. How about that? But God our Father does not just pardon people because he likes them. He expects debts to be paid and work to be done. The problem is, the debt is far, far too great, and the work that would need to be done to dig you out of the hole you've gotten yourself into is too much for anyone to accomplish. You'll never do it, even if you had an eternity to try. That is the reason this entitlement program was started. It was started to get you on the path, that narrow road that will ultimately lead you to a far better life. Jesus Christ, the very Son of the Father, was sent to pay your debt and do your work. What did you do to earn that? What did you do to even earn his attention, that he would bother to learn your name? Nothing. But Isaiah says, he has borne our grief, he has carried our sorrow, he was pierced through for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for all of our sins. By his scourging, by his bleeding, by his suffering, you can now be wholly forgiven and healed from all your sin through something as simple as repentance, and then set free from the prison and given blessings and riches that truly are immeasurable. Isaiah reminds us, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We have sinned terribly against God. Each of us has turned away from the truths and promises of God. But in his mercy, our Lord has taken all of that mess and dumped it on Jesus and exacted the necessary and due punishment on him. Isaiah also explained that when God the Father saw the suffering of Jesus, all the blood which Jesus paid for your sins and your failures, when he saw that, it satisfied God's demand for righteousness and holiness on your part. The bloody suffering, the innocent death, and the and the victorious resurrection of Jesus has gained for you a free pardon, an undeserved one. People will be critical of what God has done for you. People will question what God has done for you. People will doubt what God has done for you. They will try to prevent you from telling other people about it. They'll file lawsuits to try to silence you. They will try to pull it from history books and schools. They will try to erase it from the minds of children. But the truth remains the truth. The truth is, you have a pardon, which Jesus Christ has earned for you. There is no greater joy found in the pages of Scripture than to know that God has not dealt with us as our sins require. My message to you is, instead of focusing on questionable political presidential pardons, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on the pardon and the hope God is now offering you in the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Just repent. Even in your darkest hour, in your most discouraging moments, when the whole world is crashing in around you, the gracious and pardoning power of God will uplift you and give you a new start and a reason to live. I don't know, some of you are baseball fans. You might remember the name Darryl Strawberry back in the late 90s. He was a star of the New York Yankees, a real baseball hero. People looked up to him. Kids collected his cards. They wanted his autograph. If you remember everything about Darryl Strawberry, he was not all he appeared to be. Though he looked great, the truth is he was entangled in a life of drugs and crime. His second wife filed for divorce. Adding to all of these problems, he was diagnosed with cancer. So his life and his body were quickly falling apart together. And the truth is mostly due to his own actions and his own choices. The New York Times recorded the arrest and court appearance like this. New York Yankees slugger Darryl Strawberry, under double assault from fierce drug addiction and cancer, stood in shackles before a judge and said, "For me, life hasn't been worth living. That's the honest truth, Judge. I just want to die." Life can beat you up. It can leave you laying in the streets. When your heart is heavy and your soul is burdened with feelings of failure and inadequacy, what you need is a special divine lift. You need the power and the uplifting promise of your merciful Heavenly Father, who has pardoned you and set you free. All you need to do is repent. There is only one place we can ultimately turn to and find real rest and real relief. Darryl Strawberry found it. He was actually brought to his knees before God in that place where the only thing you have left to cling to is God's love, God's care, God's grace, and God's mercy. The best way to build a new future is first stand on the assurance that God Himself has you in His sight, and He has declared your past the past. You can start over because His forgiveness and His pardon have been granted to you. There isn't anywhere else to go. In every part of this country, more and more people are hopping from church to church, and they're trying to find that the one that just meets all of their needs. They want that perfect church. So then we should ask, what does a perfect church look like? Well, if it's true, as the Bible teaches, that all of us have gone astray, each one his own way, and there is no man that does not sin, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then probably the most important thing to look for in a church that would be perfect is one that is reminding you in no uncertain terms that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We fall short of God's expectations every day. In that same perfect church, people must hear regularly that Jesus Christ has arranged for a perfect pardon for everyone in His own sin-cleansing blood, sacrificed on the altar before His own Father in your place. The Apostle Paul says it like this. He says, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of God's grace. We just need to spend more time dwelling on and focusing on the biblical teaching of when and how God pardons us. He's not just changing his mind regarding your guilt. He isn't saying, it's okay, you're a failure, I love you anyway. Your sin's not that bad. He's not doing that. He says there will be a reckoning. God doesn't make light of the salvation plan he has for you and what it cost. His son. God cannot overlook the horrible cost for your sins, the terrible price for your failures in life had to be paid. When Jesus went willingly to die on that cross, his blood was the full and complete payment for all of your sin. Paul writes, through your sin you deserve death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is a good pardon. It's not fair. And you can't earn your own way. But it sure is good to know that we've got that one on our side. That is the mercy God offers you each and every day. An entitlement program that is truly out of this world. Just repent and turn to him always.